Rockauto.com.
Are you ready? No. You don't understand. I want to know. Are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now.
Let's get ready to suck it!
Waller Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rockin.
Hi, Mom.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
And Mace.
And if anyone disagrees with me, I'll open a can of the ass with pump a mud pie, eat some low-fat frozen yogurt, and back to the bottom line.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what your thoughts on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote...
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Kane, that's got two words for you.
Feed me.
Table is going to be Andy Reid's head in about 5 minutes. Anyway, welcome everybody to the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by PW Mania and TweakedAudio.com. Go to TweakedAudio.com, use the promo code WILDTALK, save 33% off your order. And now, if you didn't know this by now, I've been posting it on Facebook and Twitter all day. If you have a smartphone, go to download the TuneIn app and type in Wild Talk Radio Network, and you can hear our live streams whenever we are on the air on your mobile device.
Awesome! By the way, if you hear Rock give a wail of just despair and anger in about 2 minutes, you'll know why.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hey, Kane Kittens!
Hi, everybody. I'm Rock.
Hey, Jersey.
That's Lindsay. If you haven't guessed by now, there is no Mace tonight. He's off elsewhere.
And that lucky bastard Forrest. It took everything I had to sit through this show because, honestly, I was bored 5 minutes in, and it's like, fuck, Mace isn't here tonight, which means I can't close my laptop. Damn it! Damn him!
So the show started with backstage, Miz and Paul Heyman talking, and basically what ends up happening is that Punk left them last week, left them high and dry, and Miz doesn't want any part of that, so Miz quits Team Punk to start off the show.
Which isn't okay. I mean, you know, we were talking, you guys were talking about it on WTR, and it's... If you're going to pull somebody out, I think somebody said The Miz, so... Okay. And which probably means Kofi will be pulled from... Well, no, they pulled Ryback, but... Maybe Kofi will bail, and that's how we get an IC title match? I don't know.
I have theories, and I don't know if we'll get into it tonight, but I have theories on what's going on. So, anyway. So that was the opening bit. And then we had an interesting opening package.
We did!
It felt TNA, TMZ-ish.
It did. Raw is TNA. First Claire Lynch, and now this. Because we got last week on Raw.
And it sounded like the TNA guy, too.
It did. I'm going to have to go listen. I'm going to have to go back and compare them, mm-hmm. you know, when I have time, which is rarely. But go back and compare the two and see if it's the same guy.
Because I swear it was. Even this recap says it felt like TNA inspired.
It did. It was very... Which I didn't mind it. I just...
It was different.
It was different for them, and I like it when TNA does it, because if you miss the show, it recaps it a little bit for you, and so you know what happened. So it's like, okay, moving forward, it's this is what's going on, here's where we are to this point, now here's the rest of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that'd be good for, you know, trying to get viewers back to catch them up if they miss a week or two.
But my only thing is I wish WWE would... had maybe, and this is not a shot TNA, but I wish WWE had done it first.
Yeah, would have helped. Our opening contest was a six...
Oh.
A six man. You heard that.
Let it out.
There's nothing to let out. That the sigh happened when he dropped that ball.
I know.
You could... Anyway, Rey Mysterio and R-Truth took on Antonio Cesaro and the primetime players. R-Truth had a funny tout.
Oh my god, he did. He totally did.
Best thing I've ever seen on tout was that. Oh, I've seen a few things, but that was up there, especially with what they show on Raw.
Yeah.
As far as the match goes, it was alright.
The match itself was fine. I have a complaint about the primetime players.
Go for it.
When they first started this gimmick, I actually liked it. Just because it's, okay, they're a tag team, they're a decent tag team, they've got the whole look and feel of one. And then I watch WWE Backstage Pass, which I'm addicted to that YouTube show. I love to watch the stuff after the shows for Raw and SmackDown. And I watched the one for, I think it was SmackDown?
Probably.
And I swear to God, they made them look like the biggest pair of idiots on that roster. Like, they're sitting there talking, eating peanut butter sandwiches with their mouths full, and you can't understand a goddamn word either of them are saying, and then they do their stupid little dance. It's like, why are you making them look stupid? They're supposed to be heels. I mean, you've got freaking Titus O'Neil on that team. He's a big, huge, scary guy. You should have him breaking people in half.
I agree.
Not doing what he's doing. And so it's like, to me, it's, how do you expect me to take these guys as a legit threat unless you don't want me to take these guys as a legit threat? In that case, job well done. By the way, do you want to let out your wail now?
Or? No, I'm good.
You know, it's just... Yeah, that's my only complaint about them, is it's just like... Why are you making them look like just idiots?
That's a good question. I don't know what they do with... I don't understand why they would make them like idiots. They're supposed to be building this tag team and, you know, tag team division. They're a team to, you know, build around. Because their gimmick is unique. One of them can talk, and they, you know, they have some charisma to them. So it's like, they would be a tag team to get behind. They would be a nice, solid heel tag team.
Yeah. I mean, and they were. Up until AW screwed up, they were. They were a dominant heel tag team, and they were really the beginning of the foundation for that tag division. And if you watch Raw tonight, there are a lot of tag matches on this show. I think their entire division was featured tonight on the show.
In some fashion, yeah.
In some fashion. I mean, they were all on the air. Now, granted, it wasn't in the length of time that I would have liked to have seen it in, because there are people that, and no, I'm not talking about Kane, although I am talking about Kane, that I would have liked to have seen. Well, you know, it's like they did the whole feud with the Rhodes Scholars and Team Hell No / Anger Buddies. Mm-hmm. And I really like that feud. I really like that pairing, and I wish we would get to see more of that and less of Vicky showing us security footage, which, by the way, thanks, WWE, for listening to our show last week. We could totally tell.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Well, we'll get there, but anyway, I'm rambling. Go on.
So, it's fine. It's less talking I have to do. I'm just going on trying to go. It's going to be fun listening to the governor up until him in a minute. Anyway, Rey Mysterio, Sin Cara, and R-Truth wins. Truth hit Little Jimmy. I didn't know that was his name, his finishing move, until now.
Is that what happens when an invisible person hits puberty?
Apparently, it becomes a finishing move. Yeah, anyway. Then the Mysterio and Sin Cara mock the primetime players by doing their dance, which has become a meme on the Facebook and the Twitters.
I've seen that.
That's pretty good. Speaking of Miss Vicky Guerrero, she came down to the ring at this point. They basically went over the footage from last week. Cena came out before she could show some footage from, you know, AJ, you know, in a robe walking to the a room, and then Cena coming out in a room with a towel on and putting up a Do Not Disturb sign. That's basically what the whole promo was. AJ then came on the screen, and she was like, nah, to Vicky, and wanted to kill her. That's the segment. That's all this segment was.
And Vicky gloating.
Yeah, and Vicky gloating. This would have been a perfect setup for Dolph Ziggler and John Cena to continue as a singles match at Survivors.
Oh, wait, that's not going to happen. There's a swerve coming in the storyline. I'm waiting for it, but there's a swerve coming. It's probably going to happen at Survivor Series. Because we all know this is leading to a singles match between Vicky and AJ. Are you watching SportsCenter highlights?
No. I'm going back to the whole thinking Vicky versus AJ at Survivor Series. I would say yes, but I have a feeling they're going to drag that out to TLC. Anyway, that's just my opinion that they're just going to drag it out because I don't see them booking it on Monday.
I can see them maybe doing the swerve or something to that effect, like either since they want to turn Ziggler face, then that's been rumored. I don't know if it's true. Like, it was Ziggler who AJ was having the affair with, not Cena.
Which is what I said a few weeks ago.
Right.
I did mention it, and I was laughed at by Mace in the chat. Anyway, so yeah, that was the segment. Like, oh, Cena defends himself, Vicky talks, yay. And she used the word hanky-panky. I cringed. Hanky-panky, really?
That's as R-rated as they can go. Oh, trust me, Jersey, I'm waiting for Clara Lynch to show up, too. I actually asked who Vicky is, whether she's Daniels and Kaz without the apple teenies, or if she's actually Clara Lynch. I'm waiting for that moment. Oh, hi, speaking of Kane, he's on my TV right now.
Which mean would Vicky and Cena hooked up? And anyway, we're not going to...
We're not going to go there. I don't want to think about that.
Backstage, Paul Heyman was with Wade Barrett, and, you know, he was trying to convince him to, you know, join Team something or other now. Team Heyman, I guess. Team Heyman at this point, or Team Punk at this point. He said that while Barrett needs someone like him, Barrett, you know, basically refused Heyman's offer last week and was doing so again this week because, well, he doesn't trust Paul Heyman. But then Barrett, you know, reconsidered and said, yeah, he would do it on the condition that Heyman would owe him one. And with always with Paul Heyman, you should get it in writing. Which
yes.
Is what he wants.
And Paul Heyman almost dropped an F-bomb, which was awesome.
So, Barrett's now on the team. Woohoo!
I'm going to save my rant until the end of the show. Okay. Go on.
So, Daniel Bryan took on Cody Rhodes.
in a short match. I was disappointed. Of course, what you're getting ready to talk about is what I'm watching right now, and that was much better, but...
I was just going to say, Daniel Bryan is way over in England. Just
yes,
saying.
He is.
He was really over with the crowd, even though he came up on the short end of the stick when Cody Rhodes defeated Daniel Bryan. Cody got on the mic afterwards, boasted that it was an impressive victory by one of the future tag team champions. Then Rhodes said Sandow could beat Kane just as easily as Bryan. He beat Bryan. Kane then pulled Sandow into the ring, and, well, we had another match, which Lindsay is currently watching, Kane versus Damian Sandow.
And, yes, and by the way, the person that had the Canaanites live on sign in the crowd, rock on, dude, you're awesome. I don't know who it is, I don't know if you'll ever hear this, but that sign rocks my world right now. And then the whole, like, clusterfuck, which I'm actually watching. I'm watching the match right now.
Describe what's going on.
Basically, what's going on is it's the point where Bryan chases Cody into the ring and Kane is standing there going to fuck. And then they get thrown out.
So they got thrown out, and Kane wins via the chokeslam.
Yes.
And a few moments after that point...
And Sandow is now crying like a bitch, crawling up the ropes going, oh god, I'm gonna die, and we get the adorable little head tilt. And now he's begging. Begging doesn't work.
Never.
Makes him madder.
It does. Never beg in front of Kane.
At least for mercy. I don't know about sex.
I wasn't even going there. Wasn't going there.
What? And, okay. Anyway, move on. We can move on now. And yeah, they did make Sandow look awful tonight, but they did the exact same thing to Bryan. They made Bryan the bitch, and they seem to like to do that. Or as far as these two tag teams are concerned, as Bryan seems to be the bitch, and so does Sandow.
I should not be hearing Andy Reid saying, we have to practice harder. Really? That's the... Anyway.
No, dude. No. You don't need to be practicing harder. You need to put duct tape to your players' hands so they'll catch the ball.
Just need a block. Have an offensive line to block. Anyway, this brought up Michael Cole into the ring with Brad Maddox.
And he's uber tight vest.
He basically, you know, said he was CM Punk and Paul Heyman had nothing to do with it. All my life, all I've ever wanted to be was a WWE superstar. That's all he wanted. He sent in tapes to the front office and talent relations, had tryouts. He's been to Raw and SmackDown events. He even paid $2,000 for a tryout. After all that, he was finally given a chance with a developmental contract. He apparently wasn't good enough. He questioned whether it was because he wasn't tall enough, or that he couldn't flip three times and land on his feet. The fans that chanted, "You can't wrestle," which is probably true.
Well, we're going to find out.
We're going to find out next week. Maddox said his dream didn't die even when WWE officials told him he would never make it to the main roster. I want to be somebody. I don't care how many people tell me I'm nobody. I'm a nobody. He said that's why he became a referee. He said that when AJ called to offer him a job, he needed one chance to make an impact. He admitted what he did wasn't right. That was all me, he said. Maddox said Punk was just as surprised as Ryback and the fans were. He said his actions were driven by his needs to be someone. He said he's famous now. And people know his name even in England. His dream is to be a WWE superstar. That's why I want a contract and a match with Ryback. Because at this point, nobody's going to forget who Brad Maddox is now.
6 months, nobody's going to know who the fuck you are.
2 weeks, no one's going to know who the fuck you are. This brought out Vince McMahon. And he basically gave him this proposal. He said, it's one thing to be want to be famous and another thing to have a death wish. He thinks they're still all in cahoots, but you know, Vince said he will give Max a $1 million contract if he can beat Ryback next week, and then told him to get out of his ring.
So, let me get this right.
Okay.
Guy tries out. Guy has a dream. Simi achieves his dream by becoming a WWE referee. He is a part of the roster. He's not a wrestler, but he's a part of the roster. He's on the road. He's on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Gets to ref a main event match, and a pretty big deal of a main event match, at Hell in a Cell between CM Punk and Ryback.
Correct.
Says, fuck it. Goes into business for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Screws over CM Punk. Provided this is all legit and there is no swerve coming, which there probably is. Screws over CM Punk. I'm sorry, screws over Ryback. Let me get my facts straight. Helps CM Punk. And then demands a match. And when he gets it. So basically, he fucks up a pay-per-view and he gets an offer for a $1 million contract and a match with Ryback.
Yes. Yeah.
And AJ Lee just has the hint of shenanigans with John Cena and she gets fired.
Yep, pretty much.
Double standard? Anybody?
A little bit.
A little bit?
A little bit.
I'm sorry, the lack of logic in this is just stupid. This just blew my mind. It's like, all you had to do was just have the guy walk out there and say, I'm a Paul Heyman guy.
That's all you had to do?
That's all you had to do, because it's going to come out eventually where Brad Maddox does have ties to either Paul Heyman or CM Punk or both in some capacity. That's how it's going to play out, probably. So to have him walk out there and admit he went into business for himself and then demand a match with Ryback, and he's going to get it, and then on top of it, if he somehow manages to win, he gets $1 million, is bullshit. I'm sorry, if in any other job, and I know WWE is not reality, I get that, they live in their own little world, but for any other job out there, if you did what Brad Maddox did, not only would you be fired, you would be in the midst of a lawsuit right about now. And this whole thing is just ridiculous, because on top of it, it's taking focus off of the Punk, whoever the hell he's feuding with right now, feud. Brad Maddox is now the focus of this feud, as opposed to the Punk and Ryback, or Punk and Cena, or Punk or whoever. And you're having a guy who's a referee get pushed over your WWE champion. And the rest of your roster. Since motherfucker, do you make it?
Guess what? We have to continue on. Because it only gets better from here.
Oh, I know it only gets better from here. This was the point where I wanted to close my laptop. But I couldn't, because, and then the next moment happened, and I couldn't, but proceed.
Vince McMahon then brought out Vicky Guerrero. And, well, he asked if she okayed to give Max a contract, and she said, yes, sir. He also let her say that she thinks Maddox was working with Punk and Heyman. Vince then asked Vicky why he wouldn't have Punk defend his title at Survivor Series against, and then she answered, Dolph Ziggler? No, not actually Dolph Ziggler. He gave her another shot, and she said, Ryback. And then Vince said he knew Vicky was thinking that wasn't good enough. He assumed there was going to be a triple threat match, and he told her if she said Dolph Ziggler, she would fire her on the spot. Just fire her now, please.
Please.
Just get rid of her. And then she said, if it's a person I think of, thinking of, he's in the middle of a scandal and isn't the right person. Vince said that, you know, that guy stepped aside so Ryback could have a title shot at Hell in a Cell. And then, you know, she eventually said, John Cena. So, Survivor Series. Triple threat. Punk. Ryback. Cena. For the WWE title.
Bullshit.
Feel free to go and rant.
I was actually really, when they made the announcement last week of Team Punk versus Team Foley, and they listed the people in the match, it's like, okay, sure, it's predictable, but this would actually have been a pretty good match, if not a great match, just by the caliber of talent in the match itself. Right. And I'm not trying to discount who they replaced Punk with, but it's, I was actually looking forward to it. And then they did this, where they pull Punk out when it's the whole crux of that story right there, is it's Punk versus Foley. You built this. There's a history. There's a natural connection there. It's perfect. It works. It's actually refreshing that the WWE title is not going to be on the line at Survivor Series. But you have Punk in this team situation where it can all fall apart on him, and oh hey, start fresh feuds. Oh my god, who'd have thunk that? But no, you're going to pull Punk out of that match, and you're going to stick him in a three-way match that you could have easily done at TLC, because it's a rehash of essentially Hell in the Cell and every summer pay-per-view prior to where he faced Cena. I could give two fucks about John Cena versus Ryback versus CM Punk. I've seen it in its components. I don't care. Just the whole thing of it's a Survivor Series concept. I get it. Great. I want to see this. No, it's just, oh my god, why? And the other thing is, can I just go ahead and blow it? Can I just spoil it?
Go ahead.
Ziggler gets named the captain of Punk's team. Again, you had another match set for Survivor Series right there. You were building to it with Vicky Guerrero and John Cena. You John Cena go after Vicky, Dolph steps in for Vicky, boom. There's a match at Survivor Series. It helps build Dolph. No, you're going to stick him in the match in the five-way, which isn't going to do him nearly as much good. If anything, he's going to get lost in the shuffle. Especially since looking at Punk's side of the Survivor Series team, Punk was really the biggest name on that team. I mean, think about it. You look at Foley, and you had Kane, Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, and Ryback.
Right.
And Kofi Kingston.
Mm-hmm.
On Punk's side, you had Punk, Del Rio, Miz, who quit.
And who quit, and the Rhodes Scholars.
And the Rhodes Scholars, and then you added Barrett back in. Punk was the biggest name on that team, and now you've dropped him out to put him in a pointless title match, and you're going to put Ziggler in his place. Who cares? I don't understand it. If you want to pull Kofi out, fine. If you want to pull Rhodes Scholars and Hell No out, Anger Buddies, whatever, fine. You can put Primetime Players and Ray and Kara in, and that works. You can find somebody else to sub for Kofi Kingston. They're going to have to find somebody else to sub for Ryback. As long as you keep some of the names in there, it would still be interesting. But you just essentially butchered this match that should have been your money match for Survivor Series, because it's fucking Survivor Series. But no, we're just going to have a pointless three-way title match that doesn't matter, and doesn't care, and this is probably going to be the way they take the belt off of Punk and either put it back on Cena, or they put it on Shudder right back. Yeah. I now have no incentive to watch this pay-per-view now. There was a slim shot I would have watched it with that five-way. No, not now. No. Anyway, continue.
I made this comment to you. Last night, that really didn't get brought up on the show. There was a subtle logical tie-in with all of this Team Foley versus Team Punk stuff.
Yep.
Made a lot of sense, if you think about it. Mick Foley former partners with CM Punk's next big opponent
at
the Royal Rumble. The Rock, right. Logical sense. And now we are stuck with, yeah. It's basically, we changed the storyline. Because, we'll continue the show in a minute, the recap in a minute. There's not much really else to get to. There was no promotion of Mick Foley tonight. Which has, you know, led me to wonder, have they taken him out of this storyline already?
They very well may have, and they may address it next week on Raw, or they may address it on SmackDown when they get back to the States, because obviously they're not going to fly Foley over to England.
He's in Singapore.
Well, that makes sense.
So that's why he wasn't on Raw, so it's like, I think he's in Singapore.
Yeah, but truth be told, you really don't need Foley until next week anyway.
Right, but mentioned that it was his team would have, you know, helped.
Well, they keep advertising it as his team. Like, when they show the images for it, it's Team Foley versus now Team Ziggler. And it doesn't make as much sense. So the only logical step, and again, I'm using WWE logic in the same sentence, is that you pull Foley out of that mix, which then what happens to that team? Because these are guys that were handpicked, hand-assembled by Foley to go against a team that was headed by Punk and Heyman. And now that reason for them to fight isn't there. I mean, it's almost like you there's no point in having the match now.
Click.
They're going to cancel the match?
I sent you a picture.
Oh, click.
Click.
I thought you said click. Oh, it finally... Let's see. What did you send me? Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Oh, fuck no. Yeah. Will to watch this pay-per-view went to -3.14.
I will now throw this up on Justin TV for people to look at, and then they can react in the chat room at wildtalkradio.com. There you go. Have a reaction, folks.
Where is my hammer? Where's the one that I didn't throw through my sliding glass window? I need to throw that now.
Hope you all saw that. Anyway, I will now flash around on the screen.
In case you didn't see it, the teaser is as follows. It basically showed a picture of Team Ziggler versus, wait for it, Team Orton. Which makes everything they did with Foley and Punk a complete, utter waste. If my car was working, I would be on my way to Connecticut to meet their plane right about now.
Yeah, a few days. They'll be back on Sunday.
Perfect. It's going to take me at least 3 to get there.
So, yeah. Up next, Sheamus took on The Miz. Good match.
It was. It was a good match. It just, the caring at this point was not there.
Yeah, I know. My caring went out the window even before this because I was more focused on football.
I know.
And God. Anyway, Sheamus beat The Miz, of course. Then we had a stare down between Big Show and Sheamus afterwards. We got hype for the match coming up Survivor Series. As we mentioned, Dolph Ziggler was named captain of Team Ziggler. Punk showed up and said the only reason Ziggler is captain of the team now is because this cranky old bastard is trying to screw me. And then,
to which everybody started saying, wait, cranky asshole is there?
Vicky then said she booked Punk and Ziggler taking on Ryback and Cena in the main event. Punk and Ziggler weren't happy with that. the comment from the guy who wrote this recap: a cranky Vince shout out from Punk.
Actually, Punk just standing there going, "What is she thinking?" the whole time, and that's all he said, just in this continued panic tone, was amazing.
it was. Backstage, we had Sheamus and William Regal talking. They got Regal on TV, because they're in England. Up next, Eve and Oksana took on Layla and Caitlyn.
Clusterfuck.
Layla and Caitlyn won when Caitlyn pinned Eve. Backstage, Del Rio was talking with Ricardo about Ziggler being team captain. Del Rio and they turned, you know, and bumped into Rosa Mendez. She apologized. They had a moment. But the best part of this was Ricardo called Ziggler a Barbie doll.
Yeah.
I like
was getting
that.
Ready to come up. I'm going to watch that in a second. But yeah, it's...
that was funny. Kofi took on Alberto Del Rio. Solid match.
It was pretty good. I mean, it was kind of sad that you saw Alberto, no offense to Kofi, but dropped Kofi. Considering the fact that this is the guy that they have feuding with Randy Orton right now.
Not by the looks of it. He's
yeah, not by the looks of it, but...
Ziggler. Anyway, Kofi won. So the Intercontinental Champion actually won a match.
Yay!
Up next, Team Cobro took on Primo and Epico. Team Cobro won.
Eh.
Wade Barrett took on Brodus Clay.
Yay, Wade.
Who beat Brodus Clay with the souvenir elbow. Heath Slater took on Jey Uso.
Which was shocking that the Usos made it on TV!
Heath Slater won.
By the way, did the 3MB get downgraded to a 2MB because Drew wasn't there?
I guess they didn't want him to get the cheer.
I mean, what the hell? You got Jinder Mahal on TV. You got Wade Barrett. You got William Regal. You got Sheamus on, but you can't put the Scotsman on TV? What the freak, man?
Was he not on the tour?
Well, his hand's broken, so I don't know if he was on the tour or not. I doubt it.
Because I think this is everyone who's been on the tour.
Oh, probably.
So, anyway, Heath Slater won a match on Raw. Clean. Shocking, I know. This then hyped. We got more hype for our main event. But first, Punk took the microphone and talked about being falsely accused of having Brad Maddox help him at the Hell in a Cell. Punk said that he set the bar at an untenable level during his 351-day title reign. He promised that he would celebrate 364 days as WWE Champion of Survivor Series.
God, I hate these fucking anti-smoking commercials. It was a good promo by Punk. It wasn't one of his best, but it was good.
He's making stuff out of the shit he's being given.
Oh, I know. But it's basically, you could kind of tell he wasn't really into it. He was kind of stumbling over his words a little bit, so it's kind of like, yeah, fuck it.
Then we have CM Punk and Dolph Ziggler take on Ryback and John Cena in our main event. It was weird. This matchup was weird, watching John Cena sell.
Yeah, it was. It was a little odd, and Cena and Punk and Ziggler were in for most of it. Ryback was not in it and for a lot until the very end.
Correct. And which was weird seeing, except Cena's role. Cena played every other normal wrestler's role, and Ryback played the Cena role.
Cena was the spot monkey.
Yep.
Go figure on that one.
So Ryback hit the shell shock on Punk for the victory. After the matchup, Ryback and Cena stare down one another as we close down this edition of Monday Night Raw.
As Ryback stood there chanting, "Feed me more," pumping his arms up and down like a fucking chimpanzee. I'm sorry, that's what he looked like, and the guy mimicking him in the front row didn't help.
I know. So yes, that was 3 hours of really long Monday Night Raw. I don't know.
I mean, all in all, it was an okay show. It was very average, and to give Mace the royalties, it was very much going through the motions in a lot of ways.
Yeah, you could tell.
I mean, it's really sad when one of your big pay-per-views, they're treating it like a throwaway, and that's exactly what they're doing to Survivor Series. It's a throwaway pay-per-view, because we're getting a lot of rematches from Hell in the Cell. It's like we're getting Sheamus Big Show again. We're going to get, you know, they fucked over the Survivor Series match, and we're getting a rehash with Cena and Punk and Ryback. We're going to probably get Cesaro and whoever the hell he's feuding with, Truth, which I think is a new match, but...
Is it, or are we going to get some sort of tag match with all of them?
I don't even know.
I think we may get another sort of Survivor Series match with the six men we saw tonight and two other people. That's my best guess.
You know, honestly, if they're not going to get the first five-way right, don't even bother doing a second. Seriously, just stick them in singles matches. We're probably going to get a Divas match, too.
Probably. But, God. I don't know what to say. I really don't.
And I have to agree with whoever said it in the chat room, and I'm not entirely sure, and if I don't have your name, I'm sorry, but it's somebody said in the chat room, this has Vince's hands all over it. And it does.
That would be Jason in our chat room.
Thank you, Jason. It reeks of Vince McMahon.
Something's up with Mick Foley is my best guess on this whole situation.
Well, the rumors I heard, or at least read online, were that they were eventually building to a match between Punk and Foley at TLC, and that it would be easier for them to do that match there because Foley can't do a full work rate anymore, and to do a hardcore match helps to cover Foley, and Punk is enough of a professional and good enough that he can walk Foley through it and make him look good.
And you also get the hot crowd because it's in Brooklyn, which is New York, which is Foley.
Right. Heyman will be there. It would be a hot match, and people would see it. People would pay to see it.
Right, and you avoid doing Cena and Ryback and everything else. But, I don't know, somewhere along the line, somebody went, that Mick Foley guy, don't think we can rely on him.
I'm sure there's going to be reports coming out when they get back from England as far as why the change was made. It's either Foley couldn't appear at the pay-per-view or there's something up with... Because I know he was affected by Sandy.
Yes, but he flew out and he is scheduled to make appearances in Indiana that weekend. According to his website.
Maybe he was double booked and he couldn't make the pay-per-view.
No.
And that's why they axed it.
I think it's more creative, because he has a book signing in Indianapolis, which is the site of Survivor Series. So. I don't know, but something's up. And that's why tonight happened. They changed everything up, and we're going to have a clusterfuck of a show. Oh, that's Survivor Series. And you know how positive we talked about the show last night? The guys were talking about the show last night on WrestleTalk Radio. There was so much positivity. It was Survivor Series. And they were we were excited for the show, and now it's like, it's a show.
Yeah, it's like I said, I went from being interested in seeing this match, like they sold me with one match, to I could care less. It's a complete rehash, and the whole thing is just stupid, and I'm curious to see why they pulled Foley. I'm curious to see why they made the switch. I don't know.
But we shall find out at some point this week, and we'll probably talk about more on the rack if news breaks about it.
Yes, Thursdays, 11 p.m. right here on wildtalkradio.com.
Shameless plug that was.
Yes, and also tune in for our Impact review and
what?
Pay-per-view pick'em.
Pay-per-view pick'em, where you can win a copy of Bloodstained Memoirs, featuring Chris Jericho, Rob Van Dam, Mick Foley, and a bunch of others. I hold it in my hand as we speak.
I don't, because it didn't come yet.
I have a copy in my hand. So you can win a copy if you win Pick'em. So send your TNA lockdown picks, not lockdown, turning point picks to us. Tweet them at Wild Talk Radio or email us at media@wildtalkradio.com, and you can win a prize.
Woohoo!
So, but that's Thursday. We have other shows to get to before then.
Well, what other shows do we have to get to?
I'll start the music. Tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern, as you're watching SmackDown, which is 8 p.m. Eastern. Tune in for Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Al Mojic at 9 p.m. Eastern. He'll be talking with two former NWA WCW valet Baby Doll and the new NWA champion Kagus. Wednesday night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, it's just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry and the Chief Wood paneling. Following that program, The Hockey Show with Tim Stein returns.
Yay.
As we mentioned, hey, you listened. It was a fun show.
It was. Just giving you crap.
Yeah, what else is new? As we mentioned, 11 p.m. Eastern on Thursday night, it's The Rack with Lindsay Ward.
Let's tune in for our Impact review, our pay-per-view pick-ems, and I'm sure more rants about SmackDown, because I'm actually going to probably watch it. So stay tuned!
Going to be a fun show. Tune in. Friday night, it's a wake-up call with John and Kaz near 9 p.m. Eastern. Tim said last night who the guest is. I can't remember. I think he's from Ancient Aliens. Check Johnny Casimir on Twitter, at Johnny Casimir. He'll give you the details on his show. Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, midnight, it's CB Radio Weird, Wacky, Unusual. You never know what we'll go into. It's No Shave November. Rob Parks is growing out the beard. It's going to get scary long. Maybe. Check it out. We'll have pictures. He can tweet now. He says he's going to tweet, at CB Radio GOE. Follow him on Twitter.
I still say we have a contest between Rob and Tim about who learns to tweet first.
Yes, because when Tim thinks he sees a tweet on Twitter, he calls it a Twitter. Yeah. We'll get him caught up.
I have no words for that. I really don't.
We'll get him caught up eventually. I can give him shit because I don't think he's... Well, maybe he's listening. Anyway. Sunday night, WrestleTalk Radio, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll cover everything that happens at TNA Turning Point. And then we'll be back next Monday night for another edition of the WTR Raw Post Show, as we'll cover everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Or you can listen to us on TuneIn. Grab the app, search for Wild Talk Radio Network, and you can listen to our live programming whenever you can't make it into our live chat room. So wherever you are, tune in with the TuneIn app. Plugs?
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, L-I-N-S-W-R-A-D. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. I make pretty, pretty websites, including CassidyRiley.net. Go there, buy his shirts, buy his promo photos. He will sign them for you and send them to you. Listen to The Rat Thursdays, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on wildtalkradio.com. And go to Tweet Audio. Buy their stuff, please. Buy their headphones. They're awesome.
Use the promo code WILDTALK, save 33% off your order. So, for Lindsay Wood, I'm Sir Rockin'. We're out of here. Good night.
Go. Go Falcons!
I hate you.
To be.
Wildtalkradio.com.